This is Brian Sparkinson speaking, and thank you for tuning in to my show despite technical difficulties. I have three special guests for you this afternoon: Mrs. Molly Blackett, Lieutenant Colonel Tom Jollies, and Miss Mariah Turner. Firstly, please welcome the long-suffering mother of two daughters, one who provides essential support for any adventurers, pirate crew, prospectors, etc., etc. Mrs. Blackett, it's very nice to meet you.
Oh, please call me Molly. Most people do.
Very well. Molly, I'm very interested to hear your side of the story.
Well, as you know, I'm Ruth and Margaret's mother. But of course, they're usually known as Nancy and Peggy. Peggy is just a version of Margaret, of course. But since Ruth was quite a little girl, my brother Jim has called her Nancy after some old sea shanty. Jim always said that if she was an Amazon pirate, she couldn't be Ruth because pirates are utterly ruthless. Jim has a sense of humour all of his own.
Yes, I thought it must be something like that. But tell me about yourself to begin with.
Well, I was born in Westmorland, quite near Keswick, but the family moved to Bowness on Windermere, Rio to the children, while I was quite young. Jim and I went to school there, and that was when I first met my husband-to-be, Bob Blackett.
And when was that?
Well, goodness, that was in Victorian times, would you believe it? But up here in the lakes, we weren't as stiff and proper as you'd think. You know, these children of ours imagine that they're the first to do all the things that they get up to, but they'd be awfully surprised. You know, Jim, Bob and I climbed what the children call Kanchenjunga. We called it the Matterhorn then, as we were still excited about the real one having been climbed in Switzerland. And we camped on the island and sailed and had so many adventures. The children imagine that we all sat quietly embroidering or something, I'm certain.
And then you married, and sadly Bob was killed in the Great War.
Yes, he was. And the silly thing was that he didn't have to go. His family have a small engineering factory in Barrow-in-Furness. But Bob had a reserved occupation and his brothers were too young. It was awful sometimes. Women would stop him in the street and demand to know why he wasn't out in France with their men. Well, he insisted on going. He was such an honourable man. He was killed at Hamel during the Battle of Amiens in the last few months of the war. His remains were never found. I was 17 when we married. Bob was 2 years older. He never saw Peggy. Both Bob's family and mine were very supportive and helped us through those dark days. The irony was that the factory was making munitions for the war effort. I'm what they call a sleeping partner. Bob's brothers run the factory now, but I inherited Bob's share. That allowed me to buy Beckfoot. That's our house on the banks of the lake, and to put the girls through school. Although I rather feared it might be a waste of time as far as Ruth, I mean Nancy, was concerned. She's too like her uncle in that respect.
Your house is quite large, I believe. How do you cope?
Yeah. Well, we have Mrs. Braithwaite, who cooks and cleans for us, and Billy Luthwaite, one of our old nurse's sons. The other son's a policeman. He does the garden and odd jobs, and he drives the car more often than not. I can drive, but I'm told I don't drive very well. I put it down to growing up with a carriage and horses. There were no cars in our time, of course. It must sound as if I have plenty of time on my hands, which really I don't at all. When I'm not being quartermaster for expeditions or worrying what my two are up to, I'm chairman of the local history society, which is a very busy one. We have lots of events and open days and so on. And I'm on the parish council, which takes up a lot of my time. Then there's Jim, sometimes acting as if he's 10 years old. I never know when he'll come barging in with his, "Hello, Moles, what's for tea?" Always off here and there to make his fortune. Though he was very good to me when I had pneumonia after flu 1 year. And he took me off on a wonderful Scandinavian cruise to convalesce. Oh, yeah, I remember. My aunt turned up at Beckford while I was away, and Dick and Dorothea were supposed to be staying. Dear me, yeah, that was quite an affair. Anyway, the funny thing about Jim is that although he never made good abroad, his very antics and adventures have now brought him fame and fortune through his book, Mixed Moss.
You mentioned earlier your childhood adventures. In what way are they similar to that of your girls and their friends?
Well, I must say it makes me so happy to see that children can still have wholesome, harmless adventures using their own resources, as we did. Some young people lead very different lives now. I suppose their North Pole adventure brought back memories in particular. The lake froze over when we were young, and we had a lot of fun skating, having ice parties, and so on. But I must admit that the children exceeded our adventures pretty comprehensively. Young Dick and dear Dorothea managed to toboggan right up the lake in the dark in a blizzard. And Nancy was supposed to be convalescing from mumps and set off all by herself to find them. Such a bad girl. Bob would have been so proud of her. Then, as for camping on the island, Jim and I had such happy memories of adventures there. So it was perfect to have my girls and the Walker children camping there too. Oh, and there was that very difficult time when my aunt was visiting. She's been very good to me, but perhaps it's time for her to let go sometimes. Anyway, my girls couldn't camp because Aunt Maria wanted them at the house. And the Walkers unfortunately damaged their boat. So there they all were, fretting to be on the island. So Jim and I and Mary Walker hatched a lovely plot. As soon as Aunt Maria had gone and the Walker Swallow was mended, we secretly set up their tents and so on the island, all ready for them, so they wouldn't need to waste a moment of the holiday. They were so astonished. It was such fun.
You mentioned prospecting. Did they really find copper?
Oh, yes. That old rascal Slater Bob is still working it. Fancy. Jim went halfway round the world looking for gold, and there was no gold, but good metal on his doorstep all the time. Yes, Nancy started it all as usual, chasing off after Slater Bob's tail of gold on high tops. There was no stopping her after that. I shall never forget till my dying day, the day that the fell caught fire, and they sent a carrier pigeon back with a message for help. Thank goodness Jim had just returned from South America. He telephoned Tommy Jolly's, and we all rushed up to High Tops in the nick of time to save Atkinson's and Tyson's farms and to count the children. He's a sterling chap, Tommy Jolly's, a bit set in his ways, but a good man to have around. Oh, and we also met Jim's friend Timothy Steading then for the first time. We still laugh about that. Jim sent a message to the effect that he was sending Timothy home. The children were convinced it was an armadillo. Why? And built it a hutch to live in. Timothy still goes red when we pull his leg about it.
Well, thank you. I think, Molly, our time is up. As you know, Lieutenant Colonel Jolly's is on next. I'm sure he will tell us all about fell fires. It's been extremely interesting listening to you. You must tell me more later. Ladies and gentlemen, your applause, please, for Mrs. Molly Blackett.